Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mades from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter because we got great stuff on all those sites. And be sure to follow at Locked On Nuggets on Twitter because, as you know, coming up, not today, but tomorrow is Draft Wednesday, and we're going to play fantasy draft using the Draft app, and everybody is invited, everybody that listens to the show. I think I'm going to open it up. I don't know if I'm going to do an 8-person league or a 10-person league. Hit me up on Twitter and let me know. This is daily fantasy sports, so it's just a one-day draft. You only have to be there for, like, the draft takes, like, 2 minutes to do, and then you just kind of monitor your team all night. But it's a lot of fun. So let me know. 8-person, 10-person, I'm not sure. I've been doing 5, but those have been filling up super, super quick, and I want to give everybody an opportunity. So let me know on Twitter, at Locked On Nuggets. This episode of the show is going to be on the win over the Detroit Pistons. A big win. This is one of my favorite wins of the entire season. This was a fun game, and lots of really good stuff to get to. Not a lot of bad stuff. That's the nice thing about it. My notes in here as I'm going through it are like almost all positive, and I like those nights. I think you guys like it too. That's why people listen to shows after wins. It's funny, man. It really is like downloads of this show are cut in half after a loss. So people don't like hearing me complain about losses. They like hearing me brag about the win. So let's get right into it. Jamal Murray, he was really great to open the game. He was great all night. The 28 points. The guy is really starting to put it together, I think, with his shot. It's funny because, you know, he's only shooting 30% on the year. I think his line might have actually moved up after this game. But coming into the game shooting, I think it was 30-31% from behind the 3-point line. Yeah, 31. But, you know, you look at it over the last couple games, I think the last 15 games he's at 36%, which, again, is not – that's not quite what you would expect him to be. I think he's going to be a 40% three-point shooter at some point in his career, hopefully very soon. But 36% is a respectable number. He's going to get some open looks. He's going to knock those down. It's going to change the game. He's starting to play well. And, you know, he had the bad game in Indiana. Malone had a great comment after the game. He said he knew he was going to play good tonight because – Murray's the type of guy, if he plays bad one night, you know, he never's going to play bad two nights in a row just because that's how he's wired. And he's just, as time goes on, I think he becomes more and more of a fun player to watch, and he shows flashes of being not just a good player, but a really, really good player. So I think it's encouraging. I think for young guards, it always takes a couple of years, and he's starting to show some of those signs that he's on the upswing, maybe on the knee of the curve, you know, starting to really take off. I thought the Nuggets had some really good patience early in this game. I talk about this as like my most important thing. Some really good patience early in this game, passing up bad shots that had kind of fallen into their lap, where I think sometimes where the Nuggets get in trouble is, you know, you catch the ball on the baseline for a 15-foot baseline mid-range jumper with 17 left on the clock, and you're open, kind of. You're maybe off balance. You think, okay, I'll take the shot. Nuggets were passing some of that stuff up, and what they were doing instead was they were attacking the basket. They were getting to the rim early and often and putting pressure on the defense right from the get-go, and I think that mind frame really helps. It really changes the game, I think, especially when you do it early and if you can stay consistent with it. 46 points in the paint, won the points in the paint battle 46-30, and a lot of that was just getting into the teeth of the defense and getting to the rim. So I thought I was very impressed with the Nuggets' effort at attacking the basket tonight, and they kind of stuck with it. So Nuggets get off to a great start. They force a timeout, and you know, they gain a pretty big, sizable lead right there at the start. The Nuggets went – this was a weird choice and a really, really interesting one. They went to Darrell Arthur as the backup center tonight. And it's funny because just this last game I talked about, you know, Fareed and that second unit has kind of found something, and I wonder what Malone's going to do when Jokic is back now that this, like, super small ball with Fareed at center lineup works. they went to Fareed tonight, and I'm not sure what the thinking was. It didn't work out, but I don't know that was really a Darrell Arthur thing. He was going up against Boban. Nikola Jokic's good friend, by the way. It should be mentioned that Boban and Jokic are buddies. Have played. I don't know if they played on the Serbian national team together. I think Boban played like 3 years ago. Jokic two, Boban this last year. So they've kind of missed each other, but they're friends. They go back, and I think Jokic's breakout game 2 years ago, his rookie season, was against the Spurs against Boban. And I think it was funny because he kind of alluded to that. I think Jokic said, "That's my boy," or something like that. And I always remember that comment because it was so funny. But Boban was out there, just a giant dude. Oh, my God. Like, they said 7'3", but he looks like 7'6", especially with Darrell Arthur out there, kind of an undersized, you know, to be playing the center spot anyway, and just had no chance against him. Would Fareed have done any better? I kind of doubt it. You know, Fareed is the kind of guy, I think, big stiffs, like Boban's kind of a stiff in that he's not like super fluid, right? He's so tall, but he doesn't move very naturally. It's feast or famine, because I think Fareed's so quick, he can kind of like shoot the gap and try to get around him. But if he got stuck behind Boban, it was like zero chance. And that was the same case for Darrell tonight. So the Nuggets went with Darrell, and it's an interesting choice. It surprised me a little bit, but I honestly don't know that Fareed would have been any different. I think just that matchup would have been really, really tough. Darrell not hitting his shot. He hit a shot kind of in garbage time at the end there to put him at 1-for-5, but he wasn't hitting his shot, and just not horribly productive tonight. He was a team high minus 13. That entire second unit, I thought, struggled, especially in that first stint. But again, it wasn't like any one person I thought was doing a lot of really bad things. I just think that Boban was getting so many easy buckets, and that's kind of how that went. Points has Trey Lyles scored off of that double high set that the Nuggets run? It's kind of funny. They have, I've talked about this in the past. I love double high screens. I love that the Nuggets are starting to go to it. They have basically two, from what I can tell, two double high sets that they run. One gets either Plumlee or Fareed just straight rolling to the basket, and the other one gets Trey Lyles rolling to the basket before cutting back for a back screen to the three-point line, and then getting a three-point shot or an opportunity to attack the basket. I feel like Trey Lyles scores every time in that, or I should say I feel like the Nuggets score every time on that play. And a lot of times it's Trey Lyles who's just been fantastic. It's funny, I went on Altitude Radio today, and as I always do Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday, you can catch me out on there. I have a weekly schedule now that I'm doing, but Tuesdays I'm with Ryan Harris. Nate Kreckman and Ryan Harris. And, you know, they asked me, is Trey Lyles' shooting sustainable? Is he going to continue to have these high-efficiency games? And I said, I don't think so. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he can go, you know, he can shoot as well as he did in the Indiana game. He goes 7-for-7 tonight, so what do I know? Clearly nothing. Goes for 20 points, perfect from the field, great shot selection, and just did a great job. 3-for-3 from the three-point line. If he's a three-point shooter like this, and I think he's shooting 44% on the year. Yeah, 44% on the year. Right now from three on 44 attempts. So not a huge sample size, but nonetheless, 44% on 44 shots is really good. If he's a player like that, it changes the equation, I think, for the Nuggets, not just this year, but for a long time going forward, because, you know, he just is another guy that I think creates a mismatch problem. I talked about how it's kind of the Gallinari factor, and this is part of what makes Gallo so good, is he's taller than most guys that you throw at him, and if you try to match size on him, then he's just quicker. Trey Lyles, I still don't think, is Danilo Gallinari, but he's done a great job over the last couple games of attacking closeouts against slower-footed guys. Even against some quicker guys, he's done a good job of, like, he's not particularly quick. He's not particularly explosive, but he does have a long stride and he's just long. And so he kind of attacks the closeout, gets a step, and then is just able to kind of finish with his length. And it's really worked. So the combination between the three-point threat and his ability to drive past you is a great 1-2 punch that's really working for him right now, and it's working for the Nuggets. Check out that set. I think I talked about it on last week's Pickaxes and O's, or maybe 2 weeks ago, And it's kind of a fun little play that the Nuggets really run really well for him. And another thing that's funny about that set, defenses are 100% prepared for it. It does not catch him offsides. Like, I imagine the scouting department for opposing teams, this is like one of the, I don't know, maybe five or six plays they show, or maybe it's more than that. I'm curious. That would be a good question for, I don't know who for who, but how many types of plays do teams scout going into a game? But I imagine it's one that they do, because every team, a lot of teams run the same set, so it's not like it's unique to the Nuggets, but they just seem very well prepared. Like, okay, here comes the Trey Lyles play. Doesn't matter. It still works. It still gets a lot of great looks, and it's really rolling right now. Jamal Murray's third quarter was brilliant. He really got going, and he's funny because he's a guy we see this with Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball may or may not be a good shooter. We don't know. He's a phenomenal shooter in college, and now in the pros, he's like an atrocious shooter. I think with him, it's a lot about confidence, and I think with Jamal Murray, it's a lot about confidence. And it's funny because I tend to believe that the Jamal Murray of the year 2020 is going to look a lot more like the Jamal Murray of this third quarter. And what I mean by that is, when his confidence goes up, I just feel like he makes the shots you expect a great shooter to make. And he finishes drives the way you think a very good finisher is going to finish drive. Like, he's got really good touch attacking the basket, and then some nice power on that power dunk. The blue, what was he called? The blue hammer drill? The blue drill press. That's right. Scott Hastings with a great call. But I think that's the guy that he's going to be, like, as time goes on and as he starts to round into shape, because I think it's just so much about confidence. And it's not that when we say confidence, you know, if I asked Jamal Murray tomorrow, like, hey, your confidence seemed really high in that game, he's going to say, I'm always confident. And I believe it. I think there's almost like a conscious confidence and a subconscious confidence. And I think his conscious confidence is always there. Like, you ask him, like, do you believe you're as good as Steph Curry? He's going to say, absolutely. You lose 100-0. Are you going to win the next game? Absolutely. Like, he's got that confidence and that mental toughness to him. But I think there's also this subconscious, like, confidence, this, like, emotional confidence that you can't really control no matter how hard you try to reason, or maybe perhaps meditation helps. But I just think, like, in that third quarter when he started getting rolling, you just knew everything he threw up was going in. He had that wide open three at the end of the quarter, a kick out pass in the corner. I knew that one was in. No question in my mind he was gonna hit that one. And I just think that as he gains more experience, as he gets more comfortable with the game, the NBA level basketball, I think more and more we're going to see that guy. And if that's the case, the entire equation changes for the Denver Nuggets, because I think they have a star player, superstar player in Nikola Jokic. I think they have a really, really elite role player in Gary Harris. And Jamal Murray, if he can become a star player, if he can play like that third quarter, you know, three out of four quarters that he gets to play, he's going to be, I just think, a really, really talented player that adds an interesting dynamic. So excited. I love watching these games. Jamal Murray, There's certain guys when they play well, they're a lot of fun to watch. Jamal Murray for me is a guy that's a lot of fun to watch when he's on, because he's just, shooters in general just have that where you get really hyped when they're making shots. And then he added the 4 points, the 3 assists, just 2 turnovers. I thought that was really good. Nice block shot, actually. His block shot, it was a double block shot. He got a nice one kind of on one of those plays where he just didn't quit on. And then Plumlee gives like the second block where he spiked the ball super hard. That was a really cool one. So Jamal Murray, a lot of fun to play tonight. I think he's the story of the night, as much as I think this was a good team win. He was the guy that stood out. Denver did a pretty good job of containing dribble penetration tonight. And I think that's a big, big part of their success going forward, especially on the defensive end. I've talked about this before. I think everything starts right there. For whatever reason, it seemed like it was a focus or an emphasis of theirs tonight. I wish I was there to cover the team and ask Malone this, but that seemed like a big point of emphasis tonight. I'm sure it's a point of emphasis every night, but tonight I thought they did a good job of it. There was a couple plays in particular, Will Barton, Wilson Chandler, just moving their feet to stay in front, not moving their feet to kind of like cut off a lane or to try to get a steal or to jam the space or anything, but just to contain, just keep them in front of you. They did a good job, and that led to a lot of good defensive moments. And then Mason Plumlee was awesome. Jamal Murray gets the game ball. I think Mason Plumlee gets the second game ball, and you could even make the case that he deserved the number one game ball just because he was that good tonight. 10 points on 5 of 7 shooting, 13 rebounds. I was surprised he only had one assist. It felt like he had like 5 or 6. And I think it was just because he had a lot of good play. He just did a lot of good like playmaking plays that maybe didn't lead to the assist, but they created the assist or they created the basket. It's worth noting, you know, there's a lot of Mason Plumlee critics out there. I have not been I think Mason Plumlee is a good player. I've questioned his fit on this team and on the roster, but I will say, you know, he's a talented guy. I think there's no doubt that he's like a top 20 center in the NBA. I'd have to go through the list to see exactly where he falls, but my guess is he could be even a top 15 center in the NBA. He's a good player. And tonight you saw he dominated a very, very good opposing front line that had Andre Drummond in it, and he absolutely looked like the better of the two players tonight, and just played hard too, played really, really hard. I think one of the things that's going to be interesting for him, he played 28 minutes and 60 seconds tonight, played the center spot. He played Jokic's position basically, meaning starting center but facilitator of that first group from the center spot. And he just did a nice job of it. And you wonder, the idea when he was signed was that you were going to be able to play that style for 48 minutes. I think it's kind of been a little bit choppy when he's been coming off of the bench, but I wonder, we keep looking for silver linings with this Jokic injury. And I'm going to get to a bunch of them, Beasley, Jamal, you know, later on. But one of them is Mason Plumlee, because he's not going to get to play 28 minutes a night. I just don't see how he's going to be able to do that when Jokic is back. But if you can get 20 minutes a night of him at this level, and, you know, you get I guess it would be like 15 minutes of him at this level and another 5 minutes or so of him at power forward doing other stuff, I just think that'd be a huge boost for the Nuggets. And The Plumlee-Trey Lyles lineup is looking good. So the Plumlee-Wilson Chandler at the power forward lineup is looking good. So maybe the Nuggets are finding something there that's going to translate to something really, really beautiful here whenever Nikola Jokic returns. Maybe tomorrow. We'll find out. Some other quick notes here. Gary Harris, 9 assists. The continued growth of Gary Harris is funny. Gary Harris is like he's like Bitcoin, right? That's the story of the day right now, where his rookie season, you think, okay, what's his upside? I have no idea. Then he makes a big leap his sophomore season, and it's like, okay, so he actually is a role player. And then the next year he makes another leap, and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't think he had this other step in him. And now this year it seems like he's making he's adding more and more pieces to his game, not just the shooting, which actually he's kind of been in a little mini slump over the last couple games, 0 of 3 tonight from behind the arc, but so many other parts of his game, the off-the-dribble game, the defense, you know, some of the passing, and it's kind of cool. It's just like, man, what is this guy's ceiling? I watch guys like Bradley Beal play, who's, I think, a better player, no questions asked, than Gary Harris at this moment, and you think, okay, he can't be Gary Harris. But then you go, well, Bradley Beal has a couple years on Gary Harris, and every year Gary Harris adds something new. Maybe in a couple years we're talking about Gary Harris, the off-the-dribble playmaker, the pick-and-roll ball handler, and all these things. Who knows? It's almost like you can't put a limit on him. 9 assists tonight, I believe a career high. Just 8 points on 3 of 10 shooting, but he was a plus 25 in large part because he did a little bit of everything. Listen to this stat line. 8 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 steals, just 1 turnover. That's a solid game from him on a night when he wasn't connecting on his shot. I think Wilson Chandler's been solid the last couple games. 6 of 11. I don't think Wilson Chandler's ever going to be a super efficient scorer. I just don't think that's who he is. I think 11 shots is a nice number for him. Because he's an inefficient scorer, I think that he's a nice like change of pace guy, and he could be an ISO guy, but his defense has been fantastic. I think picking his spots offensively has been really good the last couple games. He was a team high plus 34 tonight, and he's been that way for a while, and I suspect that, you know, we talk about containing dribble penetration. I think he's one guy that does a pretty good job of that when he's zoned in. You can kind of tell when he's really focused on that end, and he has been a lot lately. 18 points, 4 rebounds, plus 34. Just he's from Detroit. Maybe that had something to do with it tonight, although I thought he had a He's had a couple of good moments over the last couple of games. So another one that's it's just good to see. Maybe he's starting to figure out his role. And then again, he's starting to play a little bit more four. I really think that has a lot to do with it, that he's just more comfortable in that spot mentally, as well as his skill set lends to it. So maybe that's a reason for it. Will Barton. What an incredible night from him. Listen to this. Of all his stats, that he had, 10 assists tonight, 6 rebounds, just 1 turnover, a plus 26, 4 points on 5 shots. I didn't know this was possible, quite frankly, because Will Barton, you know, he was guarded by Avery Bradley tonight, who was the best defender on their team. And Barton's a guy that I would just guess, like, if he's not scoring, he's not effective. He can do a bunch of other stuff, but his scoring is the like linchpin for what makes him effective. Tonight, he proved that wrong. I never said this, but this was something that I believed. And it was just an incredible display from him to play within himself and not necessarily take what the defense gave him, but just play that role of facilitator. 34 minutes tonight and 5 shots. I'm blown away by that. And even more blown away that it was the right call. When Jamal Murray got going in that third quarter, Barton was hunting for him. Like when I was watching that third quarter again, I was watching some of the plays. Like he knew where Murray was, and he was openly trying to set up shots for him. And I just think that's it was a very encouraging game from Barton. I think more often than not, he's going to be a scorer. But on a night like tonight, it was cool to see him play the facilitator role and do it at such a high level. Malik Beasley, it's so good seeing this dude play. I got to say, last year there was a lot of people on the Malik Beasley hype train and, you know, a lot of Nuggets fans, and it's to be expected. I think fan bases can and should hype up all of their players. It's part of the excitement and part of the fun. But you know, tonight, you know, I felt like last year I didn't really know what his game was because we saw him in the G League. I guess last year it was the D League. We saw him in the D League, and you know, I just don't feel like that's a good facsimile for the NBA. I don't feel like that's a good you get a good read for what kind of player a guy is down there. Same thing goes for Summer League. Since he's been in the rotation over the last 15 games or so, number one, his intensity level and focus on the defensive end, I thought, has been just phenomenal. I still don't think he's like a great, like he doesn't execute great on that end, but I think that his effort and energy level is just hard to match. He is a very, very high energy kind of guy, like not a like a Russell Westbrook, obviously not to that degree, but he's just a guy that like has these moments of super athleticism that just blow you away. And his shots there, he's got tools. He had a nice shot fake from the corner today, dribble into a mid-range jumper that was just like great footwork, quick, really, really quick move, high release because he has kind of a high vertical on his jump shot, which allows his release to be a little bit higher. I was talking with some friends the other day, NBA friends, that we were talking about the idea of a red shirt in the NBA and if this is like a good thing. And you look at Ben Simmons, you look at Joel Embiid, I wonder how much not – obviously, you don't want a guy to be injured. Like that, I'm not advocating for the injury part of it. But I wonder how much being around an NBA organization and coaching staff, and I wonder how much that is actually good for a player to kind of just learn how to train like a pro, work with professionals and all these types of things as opposed to going to college. And last year with Malik Beasley, I'm sure he was incredibly frustrated not getting on the court. I can't imagine what that's like, but – at the same time, I wonder if like these things are just going to pay off in the years to come. And he's not playing a ton of minutes now. It's funny, he's played more minutes already than he did last season. I looked that up and was surprised. It actually happened a couple games ago. But he's passed his minute total from last season. But he's still not playing a ton of minutes. And I just wonder if that's the right pace for a guy like him. He wasn't a blue chipper coming into the NBA. Wasn't a guy that's like, oh, we got to play this guy 30 minutes a night right out of the package. But I wonder how much this like slow playing and him working on his game and stuff is going to pay out. And this is like the right balance between non-game work and slowly working him into game. It's been really cool. Monte Morris got his first minutes. Congrats, Monte. I've enjoyed the Monte Morris experience. He's been with the team now for a couple games, and on the bench, he's a good energy guy. I didn't know this about him. He seemed like such a quiet guy at Summer League and stuff, but he's been a nice high energy towel waving guy. And I think that, you know, his family is in the stands. I think
I think this experience has probably been really, really good for him to, even though he's not playing, just to kind of be around the team and feel like a part of the team and gain the excitement. I imagine it's incredibly motivating for him. And who knows, you know, he might be a guy that's called upon before too long. Keep himself ready. But really cool to see him. No Kenneth Faried tonight. I thought that was interesting. I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but we'll see what his minutes look like as time goes on. Sixth game of a six-game road trip. Second night of a back-to-back, I imagine he'll be used as Malone might go to like a 10 or 11-man rotation tomorrow. And then Paul Millsap sighting. It was cool to see him on the bench and back with the team. Again, these things I think are important, just the camaraderie. I think this team really likes each other. That's the vibe I get from watching them on the broadcast, being in the locker room, all these things, especially the young guys on the team. You know, I think Kenneth Faried, part of that group. But, you know, we've seen all of these boy band pictures lately, and how cool is it to see this team really starting to, like, they just genuinely seem to enjoy each other's company. It's a young group. Think about these guys' lives, playing in the NBA, rich, famous, and 20 years old. Like, there's positives and negatives that come with it, but it's kind of cool to see a group of guys between the ages of 20 and 25 that all seem to have this camaraderie and are going through the shared experience. I think it's really, really cool. I think we're going to remember this team for a long time. It's funny because whenever people ask me about the, you know, what did you think about the 2006 Nuggets? It's hard for me to differentiate between the 2006 Nuggets and 2007 Nuggets and 2005. Like, they all kind of start to blur together. I think over the last couple years, for this Nuggets group in particular, has kind of had these identities to it. And this one seems to be, you got Millsap and you got Wilson, Kenneth Faried. You've got a couple of vets around, Plumlee, obviously. But it just seems like the really, when you think of this team, the heart of this team is a bunch of young guys. And it's kind of cool to see them going through this experience together and growing together and enjoying so much everyone's company together. It makes for a good time. Couple quick hitters here. George Hill, we published a story on DenverStiffs.com. George Hill, unhappy in Sacramento. Surprise, surprise. Although he's unhappy because he thought Sacramento was going to be a contender. Whenever I read stories like this, I'm always shocked. Like, NBA players, I really believe they all come into the season thinking they're playing for a championship. Like, the confidence level it takes to play in the NBA must be absolutely absurd, because nobody looked at that roster and thought, you know, that's a playoff team, let alone like a surefire playoff team. That's a bad roster. It's one of the worst rosters in the NBA, and they have some young talent or whatever, but I can't imagine George Hill going there and really honestly thinking they were going to make the playoffs. But apparently he did. He's unhappy. It'd be interesting to see if the Nuggets, he's a guy that they pursue. Now, here's where it's really interesting, and this is where things don't start and stop. George Hill is better than Jamal Murray. I know he's having a down year, but he's like a tried and trusted veteran, solid point guard who usually performs really, really well in all the advancement models and metrics. But you don't want, I don't think you take the keys from Jamal Murray right now unless you have a guy that's like clearly ahead of him in a spot. And I don't know if George Hill is the caliber of player that you maybe halt Jamal Murray and cut his minutes down to play. So I don't know. That's a kind of an interesting question, but there's no doubt I think that George Hill would make the Nuggets better right now. So I don't expect the Nuggets to be too busy, but with you know, the opening of trade season right around the corner, maybe we'll start to see some rumors about him. He defends really, really well. He shoots the catch and shoot three really well. He'd be an interesting guy. And then lastly, I have to give a shout out to Altitude. TV, radio, everything that they've been doing, I've been really a big fan of. And not just because they brought me on as their Nuggets insider on the radio program, but watching the broadcast tonight and the lead into it and the interview with Vic and Fat Lever, I was watching with this giant smile on my face because it's so cool. I can't express enough how happy it makes me that the Nuggets organization is really making an effort to reach out to the old timers this year. And I know it's the 50th season, but really it's been a couple years coming. It's like 2 or 3 years now that the team has really started to incorporate Alex English and now Fat Lever. And it's just so cool to me as a guy that I didn't get to watch these guys. I know them through highlights. You know, a lot of people got mad at me the other day when I made my best all-time list and the oldest Nugget on there was Dikembe Mutombo. Guys, I'm trying to be honest. This is my list. I don't think those are the best Nuggets players ever. I just didn't watch the 80s. It would be very dishonest for me to be like, oh, you know, Calvin Natt's my favorite. I never watched him. I watched highlights of him. But what can I draw from that? I mean, it's almost a completely different emotional attachment I have to guys that I've only seen highlight packages of, as opposed to guys that I've either covered or guys that I watched every single game live and was emotionally invested in. So, but it's cool. What the Nuggets are doing and what I think Altitude TV has done a really good job of is bringing these stories to us and getting these interviews. And it's so cool listening to Fat Lever talk and just the pride that he feels about, you know, his jersey being retired and being welcomed back. I just think it's so great. I hope these guys are around a lot more in the coming years, because it's just it makes the Nuggets to me feel so much cooler. It ties the story together across multiple generations. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Feel good one tonight with the Nuggets, not just winning, but winning big. Team effort all around. Lots of fun. We're going to be back tomorrow night analyzing either a win against the Celtics or a loss against the Celtics. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.